May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode on the Silsila Spiritual Cures, where we try to provide the research of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damul Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, our Ulama Ikram, Mashaikh Ikram, with regards to trying to find some kinds of solutions, trying to provide some kind of advices, Madani pearls of advices for the grief-stricken Ummah of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because there's too much of negativity all around us. Some are in financial distress, some are in debt, some have spiritual problems, medical problems. But we must always remember to turn back to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask and beg Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal has created a system for us. When we are sick, we normally go to the doctor. When our car is sick, we go to the mechanic. But there's another facility as well. Through the will of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, if a person takes those ilaj treatments from Ruhani Ilaj, which is the department of Dawud Islami, which is aiding the Ummah around the world with free treatments, with free istikhara, and free ta'widat and wada'if as well. Before we continue in today's discussion of different problems and some of the possible solutions, let's remember the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay. Make those good intentions today, right now in fact. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what I learn, I will try to practice and share with others. Maybe you're not going through these difficulties we are going to be discussing, but you may know somebody, maybe a close one, a relative, a family, a friend, somebody who's close to you. You can share it with them. Always try to have a diary or notebook when you are watching Madani Channel and the different programs, the different silsilas. Jot down the important Madani pearls of advices, the important narrations, the important wada'if as well. Because ink is the best memory. And as Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that capture knowledge by writing it down. Because definitely by the end of this program, by the end of this silsila, we may not retain whatever we have learnt. But if I'm writing it down, then inshallah azza wa jal, that will be beneficial and helpful for me in the future, whether myself or somebody else. And we can always refer to this as a reference book. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, there are so many beautiful bounties, blessings, benefits for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak. Salawat, salutations upon the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the cause of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah azza wa jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who recites Durood-e Pak 1,000 times every day, the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that that person will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. What a grand opportunity that we have. How fortunate is that person who can attain this, who can get this. But some work is needed. We have to make sure that every day we recite that 1,000 times Durood-e Pak. Because let's face it, if we're going to calculate how much of time I waste in a day, because of unnecessary conversations, useless activities, whether on social media or with others, which those things don't have any real benefit in this world, the grave, or the hereafter. How about I take that time, or at least some of that time, and keep my tongue moist with the dhikr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, with the recitation of Qur'an-i-Pak, Durood-i-Pak, Istighfar, and seeking knowledge of Deen. Because inshallah ta'ala, these are those things that will really help you and I when we are alone in the qabr, when we are there on the Day of Judgment. These are the things. Engage in abundant ibadat as much as we can. Always do your best, try your best to be obedient to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That person is truly successful, and this is part and parcel of real success, true success. If a person leaves this world with iman, with their faith, their belief intact, that person is successful. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us a good shaheed maut with iman, whilst fasting in the most beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Ameen bijahi khatimin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we must show shukr to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Thank Allah. Ya Allah, you made me a Muslim, Ya Allah. You made me follow the deen of Islam. You included me amongst the ummah of your most beloved, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, you have given me so many bounties, so many blessings. And really, if we have to analyze our lives individually, if we have to scrutinize it, we'll realize that, you know, really, I'm blessed in so many ways. Even a person who doesn't have any wealth will come to a realization that I've been blessed in so many different ways by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And so for each blessing, we must thank Allah. What is the best way of thanking Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To obey Allah. To obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because a person who is obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact obedient to Allah azza wa jal. That's what our deen teaches us. That's what the Quran teaches us. And in this beautiful environment of Dawud Islami, where there are constant reminders, because we need those reminders. We get so caught up in the rat race out there. So caught up with family, with friends, with work, with personal things that we are trying to accomplish in our lives. So caught up in that, it's easy to lose focus on our purpose. Our purpose is nothing but to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and to prepare for the grave. That's the first manzil, the first stage of the hereafter. If a person is successful there, inshallah, he will be successful on the Day of Judgment. But if he is in loss, if he's in loss in the grave, then he will be lost in a loss on the Day of Judgment. So now is the time. It's my choice, it's your choice. We have the choice how I want to live my life. Allahu Akbar. And Dawud Islami is there with the facilities, with the platforms, with the activities, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, even lifetime as well, to give us that constant reminder. Oh my dear Islamic brother, my dear Islamic sister, wake up, wake up. One day very soon, you're not going to be here anymore. One day very soon, sooner than you know, you'll be gone, like you never existed. So what preparations am I making for me, myself, individually, and then to help others? What preparations are there? Allahu Akbar. Allah grant us understanding. So as a Muslim, it is my duty, it is my responsibility to perform every good deed for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, to make Allah Azza wa Jal pleased. That's your number one intention before anything else. To please my Allah, Al-Khaliq, the one who made me, the one who created me, the one to whom I'm going to return. And of course, to please also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with you and I, Allahu Akbar, what can we say? that inshallah Allah Azza wa Jalla will be happy with you and I. But if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is displeased with you and I, something to think about, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will be displeased with us. Because we all look towards the rida and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is looking towards His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is my beloved happy with this person or not? Pleased with this person or displeased with this person? Subhanallah. Unfortunately, because of our laziness, our apathy, that we don't keep this in mind. That I've got a purpose in this world. I've got a reason of my existence, of being here in this world. And am I fulfilling this purpose? Am I fulfilling my duty as a believer, as a Muslim? My loyalty, number one, my loyalty, my allegiance, number one is to Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I obedient to them? Am I loyal to them? Questions that we have to ask, seriously ask ourselves individually. We should stop pointing fingers at other people and judging others. The Sharia is there to judge them. Allah Azza wa Jal is the supreme judge. And on the day of judgment, the day of justice, the day of accountability, they will be judged for whatever they have done, good or bad. You will be judged. I will be judged. How about I judge myself? How about I look in that mirror and I judge that person? What have you done today? When last have I done that? When last have I questioned myself? There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Because today, inshallah, we are going to try and see what are the things that are creating poverty, that are creating deprivation, that is perhaps removing the barakah and blessings from my life, from my home, my family, my rizq. So more or less, we're going to touch on this, inshallah. But the premise that I'm trying to build is my loyalty, my allegiance, my obedience is to Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it's not, then there is something wrong. And something is going to go wrong. If I ask the question that, why don't I see that barakah in my life? How many people have you heard of? I've heard of many people. People with even businesses who are earning so well on a monthly basis, but are not seeing it. I don't see it. I don't see where the money is going. Allahu Akbar. So I need to analyze my life. What am I doing wrong? Surely something somewhere. Maybe I'm not following the sunnah. Maybe I'm not reading my 5 times salah. Maybe I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Maybe I'm violating somebody's rights. Maybe this and maybe that. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times, if you are feeling like this, or if you even say this, I don't see no barakah in my life. I see no blessings in my life. Everything is in turmoil. I only see obstacles all around me. My family members are not talking to each other. There's always some kind of domestic dispute in my home, or between me and my siblings, between me and my parents, between me and my children. Things are not working out. I'm trying this and I'm trying that. Things are not working out. Many a times, it's because of ourselves, it's not working out. So I need to take a step back. Take a step back. Analyze your life. One of the best ways of analyzing your own life, it's called Nek A'mal. This is actually a department of Dawat-e-Islami. This is a program of reformation. If you want to see positive results guaranteed, then download this free app from App Store or Play Store. Or if you can get your hands on the hard copy, the booklet from Maktabatul Madina, the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islam, you may do that. There are separate Nek A'mal, pious deeds for Islamic brothers, Islamic sisters, for students in madrasa, students in jami'ah, for those with who have special needs, for those who are in different positions. So there are different categories actually. You choose the one that you fit in. And this is a self-questionnaire where every day of your life, you need to ask yourself, nobody's going to come home. Did you read your 5 times salah today? Did you lie today? Did you respect your parents today? Did you obey the traffic rules today? So every day, there are set questions designed, especially by Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. For what? To help make us better Muslims. To help make us practical Muslims. And a good Muslim, a practical Muslim, is also an upright member of society. He's a good citizen as well. So there's multiple benefits. Spiritual, physical, societal. Many, many benefits for practicing upon this. And we've met people. We see people who are punctual with filling it out. Not just filling it out, but doing their best to practice. You may not be able to practice on everything every day, but you try your best. If you see that, you know, certain points, hey, every day there's a cross, you know, I'm not doing it. One day, you're going to make up your mind, let me just put that tick over there. Let me do this. Until it becomes a habit. Until it becomes part and parcel of your routine, your daily life. Subhanallah. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal states in the glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, verse 30, translation from Ganzul Iman. And whatever misfortune befalls you is due to what your own hands have earned. And He pardons much. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal pardons much. So if we come back and analyze and scrutinize, what am I doing wrong? Am I reading my 5 times salah? Am I backbiting others, other Muslims? Backbiting is a cancer of society which is prevalent like everywhere. Even if you go to Islamic conferences, Islamic functions, somebody's talking bad about another Muslim. It's a form, for some people, a form of entertainment. Maybe they're bored. So let's just talk about this person or that person. Hey, you heard that this person like this, this person like that. And if you are there, if you are present, where they are backbiting meaning they are talking bad about another Muslim in their absence. If it is true what they are saying, that is backbiting, that is riba. If it is not true, that's buhtan, that is slander, which is worst. And if you are there entertaining it, being part of the audience, then you are also involved in that sin. So be careful of this. Amir Ahl-Sunnat Shaykh al-Tariqat Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Dawud Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, he advises us. And he says that barakat, blessings in sustenance, in rizq, does not mean having an abundance of wealth. So what does it mean? He says that blessings in your income, in your sustenance, in your rizq, doesn't mean that you have an abundance of wealth which is overflowing. Rather, it means that you are able to meet your needs despite having less sustenance, and you are content with what you have. So even if you're earning little, of course it has to be from halal sources. That's necessary. That's a condition. From halal sources. You're working hard, but you're earning little. But you're sustaining yourself and your family, and you're content. You don't have constant worry in your mind. Like some individuals that always, you know, always worried, always stressed out. They're always anxious. And that leads to depression. Because many a people, they look at
those who are higher than them in the social standing, in financial standing, when it comes to dunyawi, worldly things. Person will, even if they reach to that limit, then they look at the person who's above them, who has more than them, who has more than them, competing with the Joneses, as they say in English. But we are taught in Islam, you know, how to remove these wasawis of shaitan, to compare yourself to people who are higher than you in terms of maybe worldly benefits that they possess and you don't. Our mashayikh ikram, ulama ikram have advised us. Worldly wise, regarding materialistic items and possessions, always look at the people who are below you. Look at the person who doesn't have what you have. If you have a vehicle, even if it is a second-hand, half-broken vehicle, but it's in running condition, you can get from point A to point B. Look at the person who doesn't have a vehicle. Look at the person who is confined to a wheelchair or is bedridden. So always look at the person, the individual who is lower than you. Lower than you meaning that in a position who's less than you, who has less than you, who doesn't have what you have. How about we do that? And then thank Allah, Ya Allah, I'm still able to use my legs to walk. At least I can use this car to move around, to get to work. That's a big convenience. This is like an extension of your legs. Ya Allah, you gave me good health, Ya Allah. You didn't give me, you know, cancer. You didn't give me this chronic disease or that problem. How about we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla? And if you thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant you more. That's what the Quran says. If you're thankful, Allah will grant you more. The in shakartum la azidannakum. When last did I thank Allah Azza wa Jalla? Ask yourself the question. When last did I truly thank Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla? No matter what my condition was, am I one of those people that only remember Allah when I am afflicted with problems? Am I one of those people that only when I'm surrounded by obstacles in my life, then Ya Allah, I raise my hands? Or am I one of those people that every day, whether I'm happy or sad, whether I'm in a positive mood or a negative mood, I thank Allah, I raise my hands. I ask Allah, I thank Allah Azawajal. Life fluctuates. Today you are going to be happy, tomorrow you are going to be sad. One day positive, one day negative, maybe 10 days positive, one day negative, vice versa. You don't know what's going to happen in life. But important is that we always remember Allah, to return to Allah, thank Allah, constantly thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. As Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damul Barakatuhul Aliyah has advised us, if somebody asks you, how are you? Somebody you meet, how are you? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. That all praises are due to Allah, Lord, sustainer of the worlds, whatever be my condition. Whatever condition I'm in. Thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. The mother of the believers, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once entered the blessed home, his blessed home, and saw a piece of bread lying on the floor. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked it up, cleaned it, and ate it. And then said, O Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, honor the good thing, as this thing, the bread, does not return if it has run away from any nation. Allahu Akbar. And today, don't we see it? Don't we see the israf and the wastage that takes place in our homes, that takes place at programs and functions, even Islamic functions, where a person will fill up his plate with a mountain of rice and can't finish it? Is that not wastage? on the dining mat itself, how many grains of rice you will find? How many crumbs of bread you will find? We are told to eat every grain. Even one grain fell from your plate, eat it. One crumb fell from your plate, eat it. How about that? Am I doing that? Why not? This is what our deen teaches us. Must I be shy that somebody will see me that, you know what, he's picking up the grain from the dining mat. Am I a slave of the people? I need to make sure they are happy and pleased with me. Or am I a slave of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are they pleased with me? Are they happy with me? How about following in this beautiful teaching of Islam? That will get you barakah. That will get you blessings as well, inshallah ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, second Khalifa of Islam, has said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat together. Do not eat separately, because blessings is with the jama'ah, with the group. Meaning if you eat in a group, eat with your family members together. Subhanallah. Am I doing this? These are simple things that we can do. Simple things we can practice upon. Am I doing this? If not, why not? Because of this, we will gain blessings. The thing that people are saying, I don't see blessings in my life. Here's an easy way. Sit together as a family. Eat together. Recite the du'as together before eating, after eating. Recite your ya wajidu in between eating. Have a healthy Islamic discussion, a positive discussion whilst eating, not just keeping quiet like some individuals. So you're fostering a good relationship whilst eating even, and you're getting thawab if you'll follow the sunnah way of eating, these three fingers, thumb, index, middle finger. And in between, ya wajidu. If you say ya wajidu before you eat a morsel, then that food becomes nur in your body. It transforms into nur, into light in your body, and it helps to remove any sickness, to give you shifa and cure. Simple, simple things. How about we start practicing about it? Make the intention now. If you haven't started already, make the intention. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, I'm going to sit with my family and eat. We're going to read the du'as before eating. Du'as after eating, and we are going to say ya wajidu upon eating each morsel and remind each other. What a beautiful and spiritual environment you will create. Imagine if everybody's doing it. Allahu Akbar. Simple ways, the way we can create an Islamic ethos in the home. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, before doing anything good, always recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or simply Bismillah. So you start it with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and so there would be barakah and blessings in that. There is an exceptional book called Blessings of Bismillah. Try to download it from dawoodislami.net, the ebook, it's a free download. And you can find this on the internet as well. You can get your hard copy from Maktabatul Medina. Visit dawoodislami.net and you will find that it is a treasure of authentic Islamic knowledge. Truly it is a treasure. If you just visit the book section, over 250 books and booklets in English that you can download for free. And much of them are translated into over 30 different languages. All of this simply for the benefit of the ummah, for the convenience of the ummah at large, wherever they may be, wherever you may be in the world. So visit inshallah, and you will find that alhamdulillah, on the website there's a facility for online courses you can enroll in to further your knowledge of Islam. Subhanallah. And on the website as well, you will find different articles. You will find Ruhani Ilaj. where istikhara requests can be sent, ilaj requests can be sent as well. And so much of information is there, subhanAllah. So before doing anything good, recite Bismillah. InshaAllah ta'ala, that will have barakah and blessings. Let's take, for example, before eating. We all have to eat. How about I follow the sunan adab of the Prophet ﷺ, of Islamic teachings, the etiquettes of eating, which are taught to us. In fact, there's another book I would recommend that you read called Islamic Manners of Eating, which again you can download for free from dawoodislami.net or obtain the hard copy from Maktabatul Madina. And really, it will inspire you. All these books, they are designed to inspire us to become practicing Muslims. They're designed to help us reform ourselves. Subhanallah. So before eating, if a person does not recite Bismillah and starts eating, what happens? The thief of the blessings, he participates in that meal. And you know who I'm talking about. Aduwwun Mubin, the open enemy. Shaitan, Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one. He joins a person in the meal. If the person does not recite Bismillah and eat, he's joining that person. And so the barakah and blessings in that is removed. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, in this environment of Dawud Islami, for those who are traveling with the Madani Qafilas of Dawud Islami, for those who are attending, who are punctual in attending the weekly sunnah-inspired ijtima, the dars, and the specialized classes for grown-ups, balighan, balighat classes. You would learn these, you know, simple du'as, wada'if, sunan, adab, and obligatory knowledge, fard ulum, which is obligatory upon every Muslim male and female. So one of the things we have learned, let's say you forgot to recite Bismillah, and you started to eat, and now you remember, I forgot to recite Bismillah. And this whole time I'm busy nourishing shaitan also. And he's stealing the barakah and blessings from this meal of mine. Now one should recite Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. So deprive shaitan. Deprive him of stealing your blessings. But a simple thing like reciting Bismillah before eating, reciting Bismillah before engaging in any good work, any permissible work as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, I'm going to list a few causes of deprivation. Deprivation refers to be barakati, meaning that when a person can feel, can see that, you know, I don't have blessings in my life or in my risk, in my sustenance. I don't have blessings in my family. So this is deprivation. And there are some common causes of why a person is deprived of blessings. Why a person is surrounded by deprivation. One of them is to eat without washing the hands. This is also unhygienic. So physically, it affects a person because the germs, there could be poison, there could be some chemicals on your hands, and without washing your hands, you're going to eat your food. It's going to get mixed up and enter into your system. And furthermore, if a person does wash their hands, many people go and wipe their hands on the towel that is hanging there and then go to eat. That's also wrong. Because those germs on that towel is going to enter onto your hands. So when you wash your hands, then don't wipe it. Go and eat. After you eat, then you wash your hands and then you wipe it. Keep that point in mind. So to eat without washing the hands causes deprivation. To eat without covering the head, to eat in darkness, to delay eating the food after it has been dished out. So the food is waiting for you and you are not waiting for the food. Our elders used to say this. Our seniors used to say this. You know, the food is dished out, quickly go and eat. Otherwise, there will be be-barakat, there will be deprivation and poverty. That's one of the points, actually, that is mentioned in authentic narrations. That don't let the food wait for you. This is one of the causes of be-barakati and deprivation, to be deprived of barakah and blessings. To eat on a bed without laying a dining mat down. To use broken utensils, whether it's a fork, whether it's a cup, whether it's a bowl, a plate. If it's broken, don't use it. Also, medically, because in those crevices, in those cracks and gaps, there could be germs, there could be foods from previous meals stuck in there that have gone off, that can affect you. So you're drinking from a cup and you're drinking from the side where the crack is. So broken utensils, chipped utensils, we should avoid. Not to clean plates which are used, pots which are used. To swallow the food particles that are stuck between the teeth if they are removed with a toothpick or a dental floss. In fact, it is a sunnah to use a toothpick after your meal. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ would take a thin piece of branch and would clean his blessed teeth or would remove whatever food was there to teach you and I. So if you have a toothpick and your intention for using it is because the Prophet ﷺ used it, then just for using that toothpick, you will get thawab because of your intention of fulfilling a sunnah. However, whatever food is removed from the teeth with the toothpick or with the dental floss must not be swallowed, as this is one of the reasons and causes of deprivation. Rather, we must discard it. Subhanallah. To throw bread at such places where it would be trampled by people. This is obviously disrespectful. Even if the bread has gone off, then put it in such a place, somewhere in the corner, somewhere out of reach where people are not going to walk in that area. People are not going to walk on it and cause disrespect to it. And by that, the person will be deprived of blessings. Put it in such a place where birds or insects and ants will consume it, will eat it. Another cause of deprivation, that is to be deprived of blessings, is to walk in front of the mashayikh and ulama, the righteous scholars of the deen, the righteous ulama and mashayikh, our pious personalities. To walk in front of them is a cause of deprivation. To call parents by their names is a cause of deprivation. And you may hear this from certain segments out there in the civilized world where they address their parents by name, where they just, the parent is just another, you know, parent is there, you have a duty to look after me, to provide for shelter, food, this, that, education for me, do your duty. So that respect has broken down. Not respecting your parents, back-chatting your parents, hurting, harming your parents. Some foolish people even physically assault their parents. Some old age homes where people dump their parents. Thank goodness, you know, that's out of my hands now, out of my hair. The parents dumped in the nursing facilities. Parents who are dumped in those care centers because their own kids who are now grown up and intelligent and civilized cannot care for that parent. Wait. If you have children, wait for them to grow up. What goes around is going to come around sooner than you know. Shame on those unfortunate children who don't serve their parents, who don't look after their parents and care for their parents, and so take the blessings and du'as of their parents. But they throw them in the dustbin of the care center, which is basically a stationary morgue. I don't even visit them. And at so many of those places, their parents, the helpless, old, weak, frail parents, are physically abused. We know it is happening. We see it. We see people sending hidden footage of what's happening in those places. Those frustrated workers and employees slapping the parents, old parents, they can't fight back. Allahu Akbar. What has happened to us? Leave everybody else. Muslims out there, I'm talking to you. What has happened to us? And then I want to know, I don't have any blessings in my life. You threw your blessings away. This applies to whom it applies. If you are one of those wonderful children who are looking after your old parents, Allah bless you. You don't need me to say that. Your parents will make that dua for you. And you will see, you'll be smiling. Because your parents' du'as, subhanAllah, are very powerful. Parents' dua for their children. And again, shame on those unfortunate and unlucky kids that have thrown their parents into the old age homes. So one of the causes of deprivation, of being deprived of blessings, is addressing your parent by their name. Allahu Akbar. To sew clothes whilst wearing them. To wipe one's face with the clothing that they are wearing. So for example, if I take this, let's say my face is wet or I'm perspiring or whatever be the case, and I wipe myself with the clothes I'm wearing, that is a cause of deprivation. To be lazy in offering salah, 5 times salah, there's no negotiations for us. To curse children. How many parents out there are frustrated because of their rebellious children, disobedient children? And sometimes they start cursing and using vulgar, obscene words, and they demean, they belittle. And what if it's that time of acceptance of dua and you are cursing your child? You know who's going to suffer at the end of the day? Yourself. When your child is going through difficulty, maybe a sickness or some accident or some problem, and I'm thinking, Ya Allah, but you are the one who cursed him. And there was the time of acceptance. And so the curse is playing out on your child. This is for those parents who do this. Rather make dua for your child. Help your child. Assist you. That's your child. That's your offspring. That's an extension of yourself. And if you really train them up, that's your legacy. If you train that child to become a waladun salih, a child that after you pass away will make dua for you, will send Isa alayhi sawab to you, and will train their children as well to do the same. For them, for you, for others, for all marhums. So that child who's in front of you can become your real, your true legacy. And not to make dua for one's parents is a recipe for disaster. Whether your parents are alive, whether your parents have passed away, not making dua for them is going to open those doors of deprivation for you and I. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what are some of the things that I can do to remove deprivation from my life. One is what I have just mentioned, to do the opposite of those things. In fact, you can download the book, the booklet called Causes of Deprivation and Solutions on page 7. It gives you much more deprivations and many other solutions to deprivations. I'll share some of them now. To recite Suratul Waqi'ah, Idha Waqa'atil Waqi'ah, the whole surah, every day, especially after Maghrib Salah. To reply to the Adhan of the 5-time Salah and to honor the Adhan. To remain busy with learning and teaching Islamic knowledge such as the Sunan, the Sunnahs of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To preach Islamic teachings to others, even if it is just one verse, even if it is just one religious ruling, one Islamic ruling. To recite Ayatul Kursi, Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad in the home. To recite Tasbih Fatima after every Salah. To remain busy in serving one's parents will get you barakah, will get you blessings that you feel is evading you, to serve one's parents. To recite Surah Muzzammil and Surah Naba at least once every day. To recite Suratul Mulk after Salatul Isha. To keep vinegar at home. According to a blessed hadith, destitution, poverty will be replaced with prosperity in the home of that person who trims their nails, who cuts their nails on a Sunday. On a Sunday. If a person cuts their nails, inshallah ta'ala, if there's poverty in their home, it will be replaced with prosperity. To recite Salat ala Nabi, through the park, in abundance. In abundance. As much as you can. Don't stop it. And try to make others' minds as well. And you can see, I mean, you'll hear, you'll see, you'll listen to that. In the environment of Dawud Islami, always there's this constant reminder of reciting Durud Pak. This is one of the ways of allowing that barakat, those blessings to enter into your life, into your home, into your rizq, your sustenance. Your sustenance, of course, has to be from halal sources. Again, always make dua for your parents, whether they are alive or have passed on. For not making dua, for forgetting and being negligent in making dua for one's parents. Sustenance, cut short and shortened. When you are returning home from a journey, from work, school, college, grocery shopping, from wherever, when you're returning home, before entering the home, recite Bismillah. Enter with the right foot. Make salam aloud. Recite Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, one time. You may have heard this many a times before, but the question is, have I started to practice upon this? We need those constant reminders. And have I shared this with other Muslims? Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, one time. By doing this, you get a double benefit. One is your home will be protected against domestic disputes, and if they are, inshallah ta'ala, those will be removed, and you will gain barakah and blessings in your income, in your rizq. A person who is unemployed, a person who is jobless, a person who feels, you know, I'm trying my best, I'm not seeing that barakah, I'm not seeing those blessings, then every night after Isha Salah. This is a very famous wazifa. It's a tried and tested wazifa. Obviously, one has to establish their 5 times salah. That's the best ta'weed, the best wazifa. 5 times salah, am I performing it? And am I performing it correctly? That's important as well. Am I reading my salahs properly? Is my qira'ah, is my recitation of Quran in salah, is it correct? Am I pronouncing each and every letter with its correct pronunciation? Tajweed, mukharij, am I fulfilling those rights, those rules, those laws? Dawud Islam is there for you if you want to learn. If you want to broaden your horizons, if you want to learn from Alif Ba Ta, from Alif Ba Ta, enroll in Madrasatul Madina Balighan for males, for men, and for Islamic sisters, Madrasatul Madina Balighat for ladies, separately, where you will learn from Alif Ba Ta. Not just that, but you will learn the rules, the tajweed rules, you will learn the makharij of each letter. And you'll go through the lessons of Madani Qaida. You will also learn basic fiqh, basic aqaid, basic beliefs, the do's and the don'ts of salah, what breaks the salah, what are the makruhat, tahrimi, tanzihi, sunan of salah, wajibat of salah, and sunan of wudu, the proper method of wudu, ghusl, obligatory knowledge as well. So much to learn. If you enroll, then you'll realize that people come to us. People enroll who are in their 70s, 80s as well. I never knew this. Just recently, a person came to us and said that I'm over 40 years old. And because the person traveled on the Madani Qafila of Dawat Islami, after the Madani Qafila said that, I'm over 40 years old, but first time in my life, I heard and I learnt where I must look when I'm in the different postures of salah. When I'm in the standing position, when I'm in ruku, where my eyes must be. When I'm in sajda, where my eyes must be. When I'm sitting down, attahiyyatu lillahi, where my eyes must be. And nobody taught me. So you keep traveling with the Madani Qafilas, you be punctual with the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima, you attend the dars, you attend the specialized classes, and I'm telling you, from each one you'll pick up one. Imagine you learned one thing from each one. 3-4 things you learned in a week, 12 things you learned in a month, in a year, how much you learned. And these things are revised because the reminders are constant, you're always getting these reminders. And then you get inspired to share it with others. And for every person you share it with, let's say you went home, you remembered one thing, you shared it to your family members or fellow Muslims, whoever practices there, as long as they practice what you shared, you get thawab as well, because you shared it with them. Subhanallah. So after Isha Salah, for men, stand outside the house, facing the Qibla, whilst you're in wudu, with no hat on your head, under the open sky. Recite 500 times, Ya Musabbibal Asbab, Ya Musabbibal Asbab, Ya Musabbibal Asbab. 500 times. Durud Pak once before and after, and make dua. Ask Allah, beg Allah. He is the creator of opportunities. He is the opener of doors. And he is the remover of difficulties. Don't forget to join Madani Mudhakara, live Q&A with His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah Dam Barakatum Al-Aliyah every Saturday evenings, 6 p.m. South African time, and try to get involved with the Madani activities of Dawat Islami. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you.